Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. I'm Poppy, your Chorus Call operator. Welcome and thank you for joining the Quest Holding conference call to present and discuss the full year 2021 financial results. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Quest Holding management. Gentlemen, you may now proceed.
Hello, everybody. My name is Alexandros Roustas, and I'm the Investor Relations Officer of Quest Holdings. And I'm sitting here with our CEO, Mr. Apostolos Georgantzis, and our CFO, Mr. Markos Bitsakos. We are here to present you the financial results of the 12-month period of 2021 and answer your questions. Now we'll give the microphone to Mr. Markos Bitsakos for his opening remarks.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Markos Bitsakos. 2021 was another exceptional year for Quest Group regarding its growth both in sales and profitability. Despite the COVID-19 unprecedented landscape, the entire Quest Group portfolio outperformed the relevant markets, surpassed the initially set financial targets, and proved the level of business segment agility alongside the strategic positioning. Additionally to the organic earnings, profitability was further boosted by Carlink's divestment in the third quarter of the year, adding up substantial one-off capital gains, both for the company and the group. In particular, Carlink sale resulted to capital gains of 85 million for Quest Holdings and about 78 million in consolidated accounts. Nonetheless, excluding this one-off extraordinary profit, the organic business continued to grow over the fourth quarter of the year. I will now give you a few highlights for the year. As we had mentioned in our third quarter call, which was last November, Quest Group has integrated during 2021 four new subsidiaries vis-à-vis last year, which are ClimaQuest, Focus, Team Candy, and IQT Cyprus. Xiaomi ecosystem under IQT portfolio continued its substantial growth with full year increase of 63%. The Clima business had also a significant growth of 42% versus last year. IT services had a great year, improving its EBITDA and TBT margins near the international standards, enhancing its extrovert orientation with international sales representing half of the total sales, and finally, creating significant backlog of contracted revenues in excess of 400 million. Lastly, Apple Ecosystems keeps on with its remarkable high double-digit growth, which is in excess of 40% throughout the year for the entire product portfolio. Eventually, diving into the numbers, Quest Group ended up 2021 with a robust double-digit sales growth as opposed to 2020. Consolidated sales amount to 948 million compared to 721 million last year, which correspond to 31% increase. Out of these consolidated sales, 32 million refers to Carlink's discontinued operations. This means that 97% of total consolidated sales for the 12-month period in 2021 derived from continued operations. As a reminder, 2021 Carlink sales were consolidated to Quest Group up to the 9-month period due to the sale of the company in September 30. As expected, the large increase in group sales to the greater extent was fueled by the commercial activities business segment, which consists of four major subsidiaries plus a few smaller ones. This segment grew by 47%, while IT services followed with a sales growth north of 15%. Half of EBITDA and TBT growth from continued operations derives from commercial activities, and the other half of it is evenly spread through IT services and courier services. Lastly, the renewable energy sector in 2021 continued its mild yet notable increase, especially in EBITDA and earnings after tax. 2021, Quest Group had in its portfolio one company with sales exceeding 300 million euro, which is InfoQuest Technologies, one company with sales greater than 250 million euro, which is iSquare, and two companies with sales more than 130 million euros, Unisystems and ACS. All in all, in the 12-month period of 2021, as I said, total consolidated revenues reached 948 million euros, increased by 31% versus last year. Consolidated EBITDA grew by 26%, reaching 75 million vis-a-vis the 60 million in 2020. Out of this, approximately 85% of the consolidated EBITDA derives from continued operations, and 15%, 1.5, comes from the discontinued operations. Consolidated EBT, earnings before tax, which includes the capital gain impact from Carling and TECA divestment, reached 136 million euro. Earnings before tax from continued operations, excluding all capital gains, amount to 49 million, which is a growth of 53% on a like-for-like basis. Earnings after tax and non-controlling interest reached 125 million euro, having integrated the significant capital gains, which are tax-exempted according to the participation exemption tax rules. Earnings after tax from continued operations amount to 43 million euros, three times higher than last year net profit. This year-over-year huge increase is partially explained if we recall the fact that in 2020, earnings after tax were burdened by an extraordinary tax of 11 million euro. This implies that compared to last year, on a like-to-like basis, earnings after tax from continued operations are improved by 73%. Earnings after tax for discontinued operations, including capital gains, amount to 81 million euros. Group's net debt turned to 85 million net cash at the back of the cash flow, the cash inflow from Carling divestment, compared to 10 million net cash in 2020. Now I will pass over to Alexandros, who will give us the sector overview.
Thank you, Marco. Now, diving deeper into our segments, we observe that the commercial activity segment, consisting of five main companies, InfoQuest, iSquare, iStorm, Quest Online, and several newcomers, namely ClimaQuest, Focus, Team Candy, and IQT Cyprus, continued to grow by 47% at the sales level, while EBT increased by 73%, jumping by about 8 million year over year. IT services sector, consisting mainly of Unisystems, also improved by roughly 15% in sales, while its EBT more than doubled, assisted by a lower increase in operational costs compared to sales, lower travel expenses, the reduction of financial costs and more efficient operations in general, leading to higher margins. Postal services, which is ACS, grew by roughly 7% in sales and 36% in EBT, assisted by the growth of e-commerce and one-off positive effects. The second half sales growth of ACS is decelerated compared to the first half growth, following a generic deceleration observed in e-commerce after the opening of the physical retail. 2021, 12 months, profitability was positively affected by one-off reversal of past provisions, roughly 3 million euro in EBT level. Even without this, however, profitability grew better than sales. Electronic payments, which is Cardlink, has been consolidated in Quest Holding results only through the first 9 months. During that period, it has generated nearly 32 million in revenue and near 7 million in EBT. Last but not least, Quest Energy segment sales remained steady at roughly 9 million, but with a 10% increase in EBT due to the lack of an extraordinary tax which affected 2020 profitability. Now let me pass over to Apostolos to provide the outlook.
Thank you, Alexandros. Good afternoon from me too. I'm Apostolos Georgantzis, Quest Group CEO. As it has already been explained by Marcos and Alexandros, our continued operations are growing. Many of these are presenting actually double-digit growth in sales and profitability. To be more precise, continued operation sales and EBT grew during 2021 by more than 30 and 50% respectively. In 2021, we also had stronger sales and profitability growth during the first half. The growth continued during the second half, but at a milder growth rates. Quest Group, during 2021, seems to have managed to reinforce its position, having four strong and separate segments, all at their best historical position, and all of them being promising regarding future growth. Having concluded a very good year, our initial estimations for 2022 were also positive for both consolidated sales and profitability from continued operation. In more detail per sector, first of all, regarding the commercial activity sector, a mild growth in 2022 sales were initially estimated. However, recent events like the war in Ukraine, inflation, energy costs, seem to have starting an impact on the demand and consumption at the end of the first quarter. If this continues, the outlook may be revised downwards. Regarding the second sector, which is the IT services sector, this sector is continuing to be positively affected by the higher demand in IT services, while it has a high backlog of signed projects exceeding 400 million euros. Double-digit growth sales is estimated for 2022, driven by accelerated investments on digital transformation by private and public sector. Profitability will also be boosted by Intelli, which is a recent acquisition, of which sales is estimated to exceed 3.5 million with an EBITDA of at least 30%. Now going to the postal sector, our initial estimation for 2022 included a mild growth in sales, coming especially after the first 5 months, since last year we had during the same period a lockdown. This growth is mainly driven by e-commerce growth, while profitability is estimated to be close to 2021 levels due to the extraordinary positive effects of 2021. Furthermore, we expect that the new automated state-of-the-art sorting hub will be fully operational during the first half of 2022. Regarding the fourth sector, which is electronic payments, we have nothing to foresee since we have successfully divested at the end of the third quarter. Finally, regarding for the renewable energy production sector, our estimations for 2022 is for a mild growth driven mainly by the 2021 and 2022 investments. Further growth may come from further investments in the future. Now, on a consolidated basis, the initial estimation for 2021 was positive in terms of revenue and profitability from continued operation. This estimation has also been validated by the course of the first 2 months. However, unforeseen events which occurred at the end of February, and by this we mean mainly the war of Ukraine and the increase in energy prices and inflation, seem to start imparting demand for several of our segments, mainly about the commerce and the courier services. Since the situation is evolving, it is too early to derive more precise outlook for the time being. In this point, we have to mention also that we consider our people to be Quest's main strength, to support them in addressing the current excessive cost of living. Due to the current energy crisis and inflation, we have decided to propose to the upcoming General Assembly of Groups Quest Group's companies and one-off distribution of a small part of 2021 profit, which is roughly 1.4 million, as an allowance to the lower pay grade employees below 2,000 euro. This corresponds to about 1,300 persons. Quest Group current cash position is very solid, with above 200 million in cash and available credit lines, allowing us to continue our planned growth investments and to endure further hardships. These investments mainly regard to the infrastructure of the finalization of the infrastructure of courier services, the expansion of products sector to the clean market, through the possible acquisition of YEV, and the increase of the energy portfolio. At the same time, we pursue M&As in order to further propel our growth. Now, let me pass over to Alexandros.
Thank you, Apostole. Okay, that was our brief overview of the 12-month period of 2021, as well as the outlook for the full year of 2022. We are now happy to take your questions.
The first question is from Zain Dilip, Ayash Capital. Please go ahead.
Okay. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to talk. Sir, my first question is, stainless sewing machines and also all good brands of consumer durables have a very promising future in India. Currently, the Indian government is promoting the production-linked incentive scheme in which global giants are participating. The incentives are reasonably high for this PLI scheme. My question was, because of the delay in our GE Vimitro acquisition, it's also causing a delay in the acquisition of minority stake in Singer India Limited. Because of this problem, why are we not finding an alternative route of starting a manufacturing base in India? I ask this question because despite India being a developing country with low per capita income as compared to Greece, 10% of Indians represent 13 to 14 times Greek population, having a higher purchasing power or equal purchasing power as compared to Greece. I look forward to your response here.
Well, I'm sorry, but the line is not very clear, and I'm not very sure that we understood the question. Now, if the question is if we were considering buying a minority of a company in India, that was the main question?
Yes, sir. The Singer India Limited, the company in India.
Yeah. Well, this is something that we haven't considered for the moment. I think that it's not very relevant to the current call because the current call is about announcing our results, but feel free to contact us directly to discuss this opportunity. It's something that we haven't considered yet, and it needs deep thought. Thank you very much.
Okay. So my second question is, why is our acquisition of GE Vimitro getting delayed? Do we know something about the delay?
Sorry, but the line is not very clear, so I cannot understand you very well. Please, can we move on?
The next question is from the line of Zafiri Arash from Cairo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Congratulations again on the very good quarter, and thank you for a very useful update. I had just one more general question, and it's in regards in particular to your Greek-facing businesses, as in your Greek customers, rather than say, the customers you have in some businesses overseas, but also, of course, feel free to comment on those. You know, Greece went through a very long crisis, and people were maybe used to prices going down, not prices going up. How confident do you feel, or do you feel there's a unique or different dynamic in Greece in terms of maybe more hesitancy from consumers or customers to accept price increases? And I mean, maybe Greece is just the same as the rest of the Eurozone in this regard, but I would value your expertise in saying, is it maybe more challenging in Greece to put up prices because of still some legacy in people's minds of feeling about the strong crisis there, or is it no longer a factor that Greece has moved beyond that? And that's already just a general question from me on that, given the points you mentioned on inflation.
Yes, thank you, Aras. This is Apostolos. Very interesting question. It is not so easy to answer exactly because we cannot forecast the future. However, what we've seen that is Greece during the last couple of years has improved. If we take, let's say, apart the COVID situation, in general, the new government seems to be more pro-investment and more liberal. Therefore, the outlook for Greece was good, and we've seen that consumption was moving positively so far. Now, prices have started already to go up during the last few years, but not at very high levels, because the recovery, let's say, of prices wasn't very strong, but still there was a recovery. Now, what we see at the moment is that we see a high inflation coming in due to energy prices and the war, which we hope that this will be, let's say, temporary. And should that happen, then we believe that we're going to go back on the situation like the one we had mid last year, during which we have seen a gradual, let's say, increase in prices, including even, for example, real estate. I don't know whether I... that's my personal estimation from what I understand and I feel according to the environment. But I don't know whether I answered correctly your question or I give you feedback of the situation.
Thank you. That was very useful. As I say, it was just more a general point than anything specific. Wondering if Greece would be different. But no, as you say, COVID and new government, it perhaps has brought Greece more in line with the rest of Europe in terms of the economic backdrop, shall we say. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Apologies, I have to leave early. I have another client meeting now. But thank you very much for your time, as always.
Thank you, too.
The next question is from the line of Svariavi Natalia from Eurobank Equities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon to all. I hope you can hear me. Thank you for the update. And I was wondering if you could elaborate a bit more on your capex plans. You said we are expecting the courier hub in the first half. Could we talk about the amounts we would expect to see in 2021? Also the Klima business with the Yev Dimitriou, if we have any news flow there, and maybe if you've identified anything new in the renewable energy. This is my first question. So it's on investments, and I was also wondering if we could touch a bit on the margins and the margins. You know, we saw an improvement in the courier services and the IT services, and I was wondering if this could be sustainable, especially in the courier services where we are expecting, you know, a year where we don't know really at this moment where we should be expecting it to go. So would we be able to keep our profitability there? Thank you.
Okay, this is Markos Bitsakos. I will answer the first question regarding CAPEX.
Mm-hmm.
The overall CAPEX from continued operation last year, meaning 2021, was 21 million, circa 21 million, which is much lower than the initial full year estimate. As you remember, we have discussed it over the last quarter of the year. This CAPEX slowdown is the result of several different factors. You remember that we have discussed the possibility of yet investment that could be pulled down, let's say, pulled over on 2022. This was one element. ACS new sorting hub completion was also pushed back towards the first half of 2022. And the energy plans that we had for 6 million investment were also pulled back in 2022. And the rollout has already started in the first quarter of this year, 2022. Finally, the carving divestment reduced our initial investment plans for this particular company by almost 8 million. If we add all this up, it's another 45 million of investment that either were cancelled like Cardlink or they were pulled back in 2020. Going to the current year, the CAPEX is estimated to be in the range of 60 million euro, including the 2021 planned investments that are shifted for this year. The main portion of these 60 million euros is related, again, with Yedimitri. You probably know, you remember that the plan is to invest 25 in the range of 25 or 30 million euros in the clima business, and the remainder of the 60 million euro will be vested. It is vested to ACS, which is estimated to be in the range of 20 million euro for the new hub conclusion and additional last mile investments. InfoQuest Technologies for equipment that needs to be bought for the logistics, the new logistics center, which is about to be completed. And lastly, energy, those 6 million euros that has been already on the road. So more or less, this out of these 60 million euros, the 90% of it regard the future growth CAPEX, while our maintenance CAPEX still stands low at the range of 4 to 5 million euro. And of course, this CAPEX, this 60 million, does not include any additional M&A activities that may occur during 2022. Is it clear, or you need something else?
No, this is very clear. So we have an ACS hub, the CLIMA, which is these are the growth and the rest 6 million, which are all growth, looking into boost our organic growth, which is really really good going forward. Now could we touch a bit on the margins coming from all this?
I will give the microphone to Apostolos to further elaborate your second question.
Can you repeat again the question, please? I recall that you said whether the margin that you've seen improved in, for example, the courier business, are they going to continue or not? That's one of the points about the margin. What were the other ones?
Well, also we saw in the IT services an improvement in the margins, but I guess this is has to do with the Intelli acquisition, which came in late in the year. We were expecting a bit lower in the Q4. I suppose that's a good improvement there also. So I was wondering if they're sustainable.
Yeah, I would say that moving from our segments, from the first segment, which is the commercial segment, we've seen an improvement. And this is sustainable because, first of all, it has to do with economies of scale and retention of costs. Moving to the IT services, again, not all of it, very few part of, let's say, Intelli was consolidated, of Intelli profitability was consolidated back in 2021, since most of its profitability came from the first 9 months of 2021. Therefore, we expect a full, let's say, a full-scale addition of its profitability for this year to our consolidated numbers, while also Unisystem has done really good job in improving its margin by, as we explained before, by improving operations and retention, of course. Therefore, to these two sectors, we don't expect any deterioration of the margins. Now, regarding the courier business, the margins were similar. The organic, let's say, the recurring margin was similar to previous years, but 2021 was also affected by some one-off positive effects, which improved a bit the margin. Therefore, we would expect that margin would be at the order of the previous year for the future. maybe slight increase once we manage to increase the volumes and the business, but not much higher than that.
So around 13 to 14% would be more good for
yes.
the courier service.
Yes.
Okay. Understood. Thank you very much.
Now, you had another question about the Klima sector. Am I correct?
Yes, I was wondering if you had any news flow on the Yev Dimitriou agreement on the Klima, if we have an update on this.
Yeah, we're still expecting the restructuring court decision to be finalized soon. Mm-hmm. Following that, our participation in the company is estimated to happen within the next few months. Therefore, in our best estimation, that could happen during the second or the beginning of the third quarter. The combination of YETS Toyotomi distribution along with Quest Klima operations as a Greece distributor will enable us, Quest Group, to operate as a leading Klima product distributor in a very promising sector in Greece, since that because we also see that all recent reviews about the Klima sectors are very, very promising going forward. And also there could be an opportunity because the government has announced a package that should that come out. Possibly this would further boost Klima sector sales for this year. A substitution for exchanging all the air conditioning units with the new ones that are much more energy efficient.
Oh, that's very interesting. Thank you. I don't have another question. Thank you very much for the answers.
Thank you, Natalia.
The next question comes from the line of Kalogeropoulos Yannis with Beta Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, gentlemen, and congratulations for your set of results. I have three questions. The first one relates to the rising energy tariffs domestically in Greece. What's your total exposure in energy? I mean, what part of your total OPEX is the energy cost? That's the question. As a percentage, I guess you could provide that to me. That's the first question. The second one has to do with the new activity on the Klima business. Would it be fair enough to assume a full year targeted sales level for the Klima business in the area of 30 million euro? That's for sales. That's the second question. And the third one has to do with the remaining cash available on your balance sheet following the distribution of the 45 million of the, let's say, interim dividend of 1.25 euro that you have already distributed this year in February. There is a remaining 40 million cash left, which, as far as I can understand, will be used to finance your future projects and expansion as well. But because you referred something for dividends, and I got missed a little bit on that, could you elaborate again of how much of that cash would eventually be available for dividend distribution? Thank you.
Hi, Yanni. This is Marcos. If I understand correctly, your first question is not about the energy sector. It's about the energy cost, let's say, of Quest Group. Is that right?
Yes. What percentage of your total OPEX is the energy cost, if that is available?
This is the answer is Yannis, that it's not significant, although the tariffs, as you correctly said, are almost doubled than the previous months. We have estimated that the overall energy cost for the group is not more than 2 million euros. Actually, it's a little less than 2 million euros totally for the whole year, so it will not affect us that much, even if it will be, let's say, doubled. So
you are more or less worried on the effect of the energy rising tariffs on consumer spending than a direct impact on your operations.
Exactly, exactly. This is the indirect, let's say, outcome of this energy prices, that the overall consumption on goods could be less, let's say, because of
the less disposable
increase
income
of energy cost and all other materials also.
Okay. The second one has to do with the Klima business. Okay, let's say targeted level of sales for 2022. Providing that you have already the contract with GRI and you are awaiting the Dimitriou final deal settlement, would that be fair enough to assume a targeted sales level in the area of 30 million euro for the ClimaQuest, for the ClimaQuest, yes, business?
Hello, Yanni. This is Alexandros. Yes, we expect to have sales coming from the Klima sector north of 30 million. And if the deal with YEV is sealed and we go forward, it will be also north of 40 million euro. So this is our current estimations.
Okay, thanks. Very helpful. And the last one has to do with the dividends you mentioned during your analysis of the results. I got a bit missed on that. Could you please repeat it?
Yes, this is Apostolos. As you also mentioned, we have already distributed an one-off increased interim dividend in February of about 1.5 euro per share gross per before the split that we've done. This equals about 45 million to our shareholders. This, of course, was a one-off distribution and was mainly associated with the successful Carling divestment. Now, over the next couple of months, our board of directors will finalize the proposal to the General Assembly for a regular annual dividend, which is estimated to be the same or higher than last year because it would be associated with the profitability of previous year, and this was higher than last year.
So that is
like we do normally every year.
So that is to expect another 0.3 euro, but that was referring to the old number of shares. So on the new number of shares would be something like 0.1 euro per additional dividend distribution per share for the remainder of 2022. Is that correct?
We expect that it would be above last year's overall amount, I would say. Therefore, last year was 0.3 of a euro. We expect, which if you divide by 3 is 0.1, as I understand that you mentioned. Therefore, we expect it to be north of 0.1 euro per share according to the current shares after the split.
Okay. And that will be brought forward for approval on the annual general meeting, I guess.
Correct.
Okay. Thanks a lot, gentlemen, and congratulations for the set of results.
Thank you, too.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Yiddopoulos Yannis with Montara Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, clearly.
Hello, can you hear me?
We do
okay,
hear
very
you.
Very good. Thank you. Okay, so thank you for having me on the call. And good. Thank you. Congratulations on the results. I had a couple of questions. The first one I wanted to follow up on a similar topic of Yanis's previous question. On the increase in energy tariffs, is there any effect on the prices that you can charge on your energy segment? Or are your tariffs fixed price? Or are you expecting to get more income and higher prices from your energy business?
Well, this is Marcos. I will answer this first question. No, the answer is no. We have fixed the tariffs. We have feed-in tariff with all our parks, so we don't see any fluctuations, let's say up or down,
depending on the price increase on energy cost.
Okay, okay, thank you. Second question, on your IT services business, this is an interesting environment now. What are you seeing in the competitive dynamic? Because I noticed that Netcompany bought Intrasoft, whom you may have been competing against in some businesses. And there might be some interest from other foreign buyers in Greece and potential new entrants. How are you assessing the competitive dynamic going forward in the IT services industry? Or do you, I know also Microsoft is investing a lot, so maybe you see more opportunity. But on the competition, do you see any changes?
Hi, this is Apostolos. The environment in this sector is very, very promising. Of course, there is competition, but today the demand is, I would say, it's higher than the capacity of the companies, especially in Greece and abroad. Again, in Greece, we also have another boosting parameter, which is the RRF investments, which is also trying to modernize the IT infrastructure of the government. And this is a big boost for all IT companies in Greece. Additionally, we have a big backlog of projects ahead of us. As I mentioned before, above 400 million. And we see that the problem now is not so much the competition. The problem that we have is the capacity to be able to develop ourselves to take more a new business. I hope I answered the question.
Okay, great. Thank you. Yes, no, that makes a lot of sense. By the way, I apologize. I think there is about a 5-second delay between our lines, so I hope that's not confusing things. The third question I had was on your capital allocation going forward, rather maybe your M&A capital allocation going forward. Do you have any strategic direction that you're favoring? Can we expect future acquisitions to be concentrated in a particular area, for example, IT services, more acquisitions in IT services, or maybe more acquisitions in commercial activities?
This is Apostolos again. We have open ears, basically, and we're actively looking in possible opportunities in both sectors, in all our sectors. Therefore, should the right opportunity come, we are quite willing to invest, not just in IT services, but also in the commercial segment. But of course, our main purpose is to go into businesses that have higher margins. Therefore, we're active in all our segments. And additionally, we're also considering possibly, should we find the right case, to also move to possibly a new division.
Okay, thank you. That's very interesting. Great. That's it for now for me. Apostolos, thank you very much. And everyone, congratulations again on the year. Very, very impressive year.
Thank you, too.
The next question comes from the line of Bouhour Guillaume with Gay-Lussac Gestion. Please go ahead.
Do you hear me well?
Clearly.
Thanks a lot. Well, I have a few questions. The first one is related to the distribution, hardware distribution activity that has been doing well in 2021. So I would like to have a better flavor on the demand during the first months of 2022, and maybe if you can comment if you see some disruption in terms of supply chain or slowdown of the demand linked to the the current environment?
Okay, thank you for the question. Well, the reality is that the hardware distribution in the beginning of 2022 is going pretty well. We have an increase, which is a low double digit, I'd say, at the moment. Now, of course, we are very, how can I say, we are monitoring this situation with the energy consumption, with the inflation, with the cost of energy, which and we are very conscious about it and the impact that may have in the retail section first, and how this would affect the wholesale sector. But I'd say that the first quarter of 2022 went well.
Okay, very clear. Now, maybe on the renewable division, what is exactly the strategy, the buy and build, to do something more concrete, or either sell the division? I mean, it would be good to have a better view on what are your objectives there.
Our goal for renewable energy is to enhance our portfolio. We are still looking for acquisition on the photovoltaic parks mainly, because this is what we have done from 2006 up to date. This is what we know best, let's say, and the IRR on this field is quite satisfying for the group, more than 14 or 15% at least up to date. So at the beginning of 2022, we already have an additional 2 megawatt in our portfolio, from 28 megawatts in total. We are now 30 megawatts. We have a plan on making a rollout of small photovoltaic parks, half of megawatt each one, but as a total, they are in the range of 20 or 25 megawatts. We are expecting this rollout to be made, not all of it, not the entire package, let's say, on this current year, but at least over the next 24 months. I would say that until the end of 2023, if everything goes well and smoothly, we'll add up additional 12 to 15 megawatts.
Okay, very good.
Does this answer your question, or?
Yeah, perfectly. That's very appreciated. On the Kui division, you invest 25 million euro in a new tree center. What is the impact on your P&L, and what is the growth that we should expect linked to this new investment, and also the impact on the margin? And maybe to complete this question, what is the dynamic now that the COVID is pointing to the end, and that the offline shop has reopened? What's the dynamic?
Okay, this is Apostolos.
Regarding the courier business, we invested last year nearly 16 million, most of it going to this new central hub. We have another close to 8 to 10 million for the finalization of this sorting hub. This new sorting hub is a kind of a state-of-the-art installation, very modern sorting equipment. The total investment of it would be a bit higher than 40 million and would allow us to increase our capacity by more than three times. Therefore, from sorting capacity at the moment of below 20,000, we will exceed 50,000, maybe going even higher, and would allow us to absorb volumes in the future and to be much more efficient compared to the previous kind of operation. Therefore, this would burden our depreciation. If I will recall, the numbers would be depreciation because of that would increase about 1.4 million per year, approximately. And however, gradually, once the new volume comes in, it will improve operation OPEX, and gradually could bring, let's say, another much higher amount than the depreciation to EBITDA. Therefore, let's say the question here, whether the market would go up. And coming to your question regarding how the market is doing at the moment, during the first 4 months of 2021, here in Greece we had a physical retail network lockdown, so shops were closed, and during that time e-commerce peaked. After that period, till the end of 2021, we have seen, let's say, a more normal period post, let's say, lockdown, with no peaks like we've seen during the lockdown. Therefore, we estimate that the first 4 months for the courier business will be, let's say, probably a bit lower than last year, and then we expect growth to come. Of course, this could be affected by the consumption and the cost of energy that we mentioned before, that could affect the general consumption, because e-commerce is also a commerce business. Should that be affected, it could also affect the courier business slightly. So that's why we're cautious in, as a group, to giving numbers, because both our first sector and our third sector, which is the commerce sector and the courier sector, which regard to more than 50% of our sales and our profitability altogether, could be affected. We don't know exactly the actual, we cannot project at the moment what could be the implications, but we expect that this should be not very long term. Therefore, once we are back to normal situation, we expect that figures would go better than before.
Okay. If we should consider it like in normative growth rate, could you guide us on what we should expect post-COVID?
Can you repeat the question? Is this for the group or just for the group?
No, just for this division.
Post COVID, high inflation and energy prices, we would expect that it could go up on a growth rate that could be around or more than 10% per year, because e-commerce penetration in Greece is still much lower compared to Western Europe. It's about half. Therefore, we would expect that we would probably catch up during the next 5 to 10 years. Therefore, we would expect a growth rate in that sector of a strong growth coming to this sector due to e-commerce growth. And that's why we've done the these investments regarding new hub.
Okay. Okay, maybe a last question. You announced the acquisition of Intelli Solution in October 2021. What could you give us a bit more information about the activity of this company, and what are your perspectives? I mean, to continue and consolidate the IT software division.
Yes. Intel is a software company active in digital onboarding and managed services. When we say digital onboarding, in N26, if you know the bank type of services, when somebody can register, can open an account remotely. This is something that there's a high demand for this by banks, telecom operators, and many other big corporates. The good thing about Intel is that they productize their solutions, and therefore they offer high margins. Of course, it's a vertical, it's a niche that they address, and which is very valuable for Unisystems. It can bring, it can have a significant EBITDA contribution, not so much a revenue contribution. And Unisystems is active into exploring the landscape of companies such as Intel and acquiring such type of companies. It's also in their strategic plan to do so. So more or less, this is what Intel is. Is it clear?
Yeah, sorry, it cuts a bit, but very clear for me. Thanks a lot. And again, congratulations for your result.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Athanasakis Georgos with Pantelakis Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen. Well done on the results. Can you hear me properly?
Clearly, George.
Great. With the current staffing, the current personnel of Unisystems, are you able to handle the contracted volume? I mean, the contracts already in place, or would you need to do additional hiring? And again, staying on this business, what is the potential for the margins there? Because as we saw this year, there could be dramatic operating leverage there. Can you first go through that, and then I have another couple of questions.
Okay, this is Apostolos. Hi. First of all, regarding the capacity, so far we're managing to go, let's say, increased business requirements, but it's a challenge. It's not something that's easy because we constantly need to attract new people, talents, and in order to develop, let's say, ourselves, because it's the services business and people is the core of it. Therefore, we're very active in recruiting at the moment people, and it's becoming harder and harder, let's say, to find specialized people, especially in developers, software engineers, architects, and this kind of people that relate to projects such as the ones that Unisystems is serving. However, so far we're managing and we're trying to find new ways in order to cope with that, because we believe that this is not a trend for 2021 or 2022. It's going to continue for the next years. We see the demand for digital services growing continuously. And this, together with the improvement of efficiency of operation, have managed us to also improve our margins in that business. And this made the margins that you see during 21, which were hugely improved compared to the previous years, we believe that first are repeatable and possibly could be also improved.
but not with the same, let's say, growth rate in terms of margin growth. I hope I answered the question.
Yes, you did. Thank you very much. Going to the ACS business, the new hub, I presume, will add operating cost for this year, right? Once it starts operations, size will that be? What euro amount do you expect in terms of operating cost? And have you already lined up some contracts that will address the additional operating cost? And a question on the Clima business. Where exactly will this 25 million of capex will be invested? Is it working capital? Is it participation in a company? What exactly is that?
Now, this is Apostolos. I will answer the courier business, and then I will pass to Marco about the Clima sector. Regarding the courier business, we already have the costs from operations. The only thing we don't have yet is the depreciations, because we are testing the new hub. Therefore, we have additional costs at the moment that will be possibly streamlined once we move to the new hub. Therefore, we have additional costs already embedded in our numbers, even in the last quarter of 2021. We expect once we move to the new hub, because we're going to operate from a single point rather from many, we'll manage to improve the OPEX, the related OPEX for regarding soft sorting. Now, regarding to the business and the growth of the business and the projects that could be accomplished, let's say, through this new hub, we are continuously trying to improve our sales, and this is the effect that we have. The main effect that we have in this business comes from e-commerce, which is a very growing and promising sector, and it's going to be there for hopefully for many years, this growth. Therefore, it's not something temporary, nor we need to just to get some projects. Already current customers are growing a lot. Therefore, what we expect is once we have a more stable consumer market with regard to consumption, inflation and energy, then we would possibly continue to see the growth that we've been seeing all the previous years. I will pass to Marco regarding the Clima sector question.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, George. Now,
Hi.
As far as GE Dimitriou, the plan is a capital increase and direct cash injection through that of 5 million euros, and then an additional 20 to 25 million euros will be needed in order to finance, as you said, the working capital needs of the Clima business. This is planned to be financed through bank loans and available credit lines. So I suppose this is quite clear. If you need anything else, you can ask.
No, that's it. Thank you very much. Congratulations again.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions at this time. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Apostolos Georgatzis for any closing comments. Thank you.
Okay, thank you all for the interest that you've shown, that you're showing to our company. I would like to salute you and hopefully to promise that we'll be able to meet soon in person. Thank you very much.